with your 2020 Fantasy Football Award Show. I am joined, as always, by your commissioner, Mr. Eric DeFusco. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I am doing fantastic, baby. Award show results, baby. The votes are in. They are cast. The people have spoken.
Yeah, this is, what are the Oscars compared to this? I mean, this is the be-all, end-all of the fantasy season. This is the wrap-up, right?
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
All in one show, baby.
So, obviously, we would like to welcome you guys to our Fantasy Football Awards show. We thank everybody that took the time to fill out a ballot. Thank you so, so much. We got so many more ballots than we were expecting, and, you know, thank you guys for putting in the time, especially our faithful listeners that stuck with us all season and are taking the time to tune into this after the fantasy football season is completely done. So thank you guys. I don't see any reason to keep the people waiting, Eric. Why don't we jump right into our first question? Who is the fantasy football regular season MVP? And I have to tell you, 42.9% of the votes, Travis Kelce. You called it. You nailed it. Fucking drilled it.
My guy. I didn't even own him in a single league.
No. Yeah, actually, pre-draft, you were pretty high on taking Kittle over Kelce, if I remember correctly.
I was. I was very high on Kittle.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Injuries happen. What are you going to do?
They do. Spoiler alert. I'm sorry. I think I had a stroke or something. I will be very high on Kittle again next year, probably.
Points per game, I believe he actually outpaced Kelce.
Oh, he was great. Like, when he was on the field, he was good. Like you said, it was just injuries. He fractured his foot. I mean, tough break, you know, and missed half the season. And you held on to him. You got him in the championship game. He didn't have a great game, but looking at the tight end landscape, it actually wasn't that bad. I believe he got like 10 points, but getting a little sidetracked. Kelce was my vote. Very deserving. And the guy was just money. I mean, he broke the receiving yardage single season for a tight end. He set the record that George Kittle had set a few years back. And he broke that record. Did I say that fucked up?
Yeah, you did. He didn't set the record. He broke the record.
He broke the record. I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this year he broke the record that George Kittle set. I believe, didn't George Kittle stole it from Gronk? Is that accurate? I think.
Yeah, I believe so.
But it's been swapping around a lot the last few years. I believe the year that Gronk broke the record, Kittle had the record earlier in the day. The Patriots just happened to play later that day, and Gronk beat the record. Kittle had the record for a couple of hours before Gronk broke it. This is really pointing to an evolution of the position. I think you're going to see tight ends becoming more and more relevant in the passing game. And, you know, these mismatches are going to be taken advantage of more and more. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for the tight end position. So let's move on to number two. The fantasy football playoff MVP is Alvin Kamara. By a wide margin, fucking stole it. That Christmas Day game, man, fucking damn near 60 points. Just what an incredible performance. Like we said before, he single-handedly won people championships. It was just stellar.
That one game alone is probably why he won this award. I mean, I'm pretty positive that was the largest, the best performance in a Week 16 championship game. By a single player. I mean, 58 points, 56 or something, whatever. I think it was 56.
Yeah.
Without bonuses. Amazing. I mean, he single-handedly won people championships. I mean, if you owned him, you were doing cartwheels Christmas night.
Oh, he was stellar. What was it? 6 touchdowns, I believe? Fucking
six.
Insane.
Yeah. He could have got 7.
Yeah, they gave one to Taysom Hill, you know. Fucking Kamara had to go to the bench to get some Gatorade, and he was tired. That's going to bring us on to the third question. This one was a no-brainer. Who is the fantasy rookie of the year? It's James Robinson. Like, it, it was kind of silly to even have the question on there, but I was surprised to see how many votes didn't go to James Robinson. I thought it'd be a clean sweep almost. 66.7% of the vote to James Robinson. Justin Jefferson and Justin Herbert are tied with 16.7% of the vote. Herbert and Jefferson made up about a third of the vote, and James Robinson takes the lion's share. A landslide for sure, but like I said, I expected it to be in the 90s.
And I will say this about James Robinson. I have a good feeling that this will not be the last time you hear his name on this show.
That's a good bet.
He could be a popular candidate.
He's going to come up a few more times for sure. He came out of fucking nowhere and was stellar. You know, he's once a decade kind of player. You don't see this very often, you know. Number four. Best early round draft value, rounds 2 through 4. DK Metcalf in a fucking landslide. Now that's a landslide. 71.4% of the vote. The only one that was even the only player that I can even see DK Metcalf's taillights is Tyreek Hill with 19% of the vote. Robert Woods got 4.8 and AJ Brown got 4.8. Just nothing. I mean, it's DK in a fucking landslide. I am not shocked at all.
And neither am I. That was a pretty easy. That question was pretty easy, and I believe out of the group, he was the latest pick on based on ADPs.
He was. He was the last pick of the fourth round,
and I believe he had the best season. Well, outside of Hill, obviously, Hill was better than him, but
he was taken almost two full rounds sooner.
Yeah, two full rounds later, and what was he? A couple spots behind Hill. Hill was wide receiver 2. Metcalf was like 5-6. I mean, yeah. You got him 2 rounds later. Like that's how you win leagues. You get guys like him in the early mid rounds, and nobody was disappointed with the results they got from DK.
Yeah.
And he deserved the win.
That being said, I am not happy about his future prospects. Did you see what the Seahawks were saying about firing their offensive coordinator? They said they weren't happy with the offense this year, and they want to run the ball more.
Really?
Yeah.
With who? Carson's a free agent.
They're gonna have to draft somebody, I guess. I mean, they got Rashad Penny. They got, I don't know. It blows my mind. It blows my fucking mind. One of the most electric offenses this year. They only slowed down because they started running the ball more, and then they fired the offensive coordinator and say, we need to run the ball more. So next year I will be fading DK as much as I love the man. But
yeah. Well, he's gonna be much more expensive too.
Yeah, probably.
You ain't getting him in the fourth. You're probably going to have to spend a second on him.
All right, so number 5. Best mid-round draft value. I spoke too soon. This is a fucking landslide. Stephon Diggs, ADP 6.7, 92.9% of the vote. not a single vote for Will Fuller. Keenan Allen got 4.8% of the vote, and Antonio Gibson got exactly one vote. I love me some Antonio Gibson. I have been in love with him since before the draft, before the NFL draft, before fantasy drafts, preseason, into season. I've been talking this dude up. I want to meet the dude that voted for Antonio Gibson. It's fucking silly. It's silly.
Yeah, because this is clearly Diggs. I mean,
it's not even
close.
You want
to talk about league winners?
Yeah,
like you got a top 5 wide receiver in the 6th round. That's even better than DK.
And I mean, regular season aside, he had a real shot at playoff MVP. He was my vote for playoff MVP.
He was mine too. I actually thought he should have won.
Yeah,
he was more consistent than Kamara. I know Kamara had the huge game, and I don't blame people for voting for him. But
he was stellar.
Diggs was, I believe, finished like top 10 every week.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to bring us on to the next question. Best late round draft value, rounds 10 and after. Justin Jefferson got 35.7% of the vote, but he did lose to a whopping 64.3% of the vote to James Robinson, the only two players to receive votes. I felt it should be James Robinson. I said that on the podcast. You said you thought of him more of as a waiver wire ad. But, you know, also you have to remember, too, that we drafted reasonably early compared to the average this year. I think most people waited as long as humanly possible this year. And, you know, the weekend before the season started, you might have seen more of James Robinson sneaking into those late rounds because it was after Fournette had been traded.
Yeah, I drafted James Robinson in the Yahoo League, and I believe we drafted the weekend before Thursday kickoff.
Yeah.
He was drafted, like you said, very late in drafts, late in the season, late in draft season, he was getting drafted. I can't argue against James Robinson winning this award. I mean, you got a top five running back in literally double-digit rounds. Mm-hmm. Where you're picking kickers and defenses, you got a top five running back. Or you got him off waivers, even better.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, no, he was stellar. And speaking of the waiver wire, the best waiver wire ad is James Robinson with 78.6% of the vote. I cannot disagree with it. Like I said, he was drafted. He was drafted late. He did have an ADP. That's a fact. But going through different websites, I found that the four most added players in the first month of the season were Antonio Gibson, Miles Gaskin, Robbie Anderson, and James Robinson. So he was also a waiver wire ad. And like you said, it's tough to argue against him. It really is.
I mean, you got to think smaller leagues, 8-teamers, maybe even 10-teamers, even some 12-teamers that are more casual. Like yeah. People just casual football fans just really know their own. They whatever team they root for, that's really the only players they know, minus a few big names. Like, probably didn't really have an eye on James Robinson, you know. Because I know Jen's friend, actually, she did a draft, like, right before the season started. And nobody drafted James Robinson, but it was a more casual league. Like, it wasn't full of, you know,
experts like you and
like
I.
Us. Yeah.
All right, so next question. Fantasy rebound player of the year, the player that improved most from last year's finish. Tight. Devontae Adams, Alvin Kamara, and Will Fuller are all tied with 23.8% of the vote. Stephon Diggs is our winner with 28.6% of the vote. Damn near a four-way tie. Just, oh, man, I love it. I don't think there's a wrong answer in the group. I personally would also vote for Stephon Diggs, which I did. I mean, there isn't a wrong answer, though. Nobody could say, oh, well, you know, the only one I wouldn't consider is this guy. Like, no, they all had huge rebound years.
Yeah, it's like you said, you can't pick one guy and be like, oh, he's the definitive answer. It was tight. I believe I voted for Adams. They were all worthy options to win this award. And I'm totally fine with Diggs winning it. He deserved it. The guy was fantastic. I mean, he led the league in targets, I believe. I believe he led the league in receiving yards. I mean, he was a beast. He was great. Yeah, I'm totally fine with Diggs winning this award because he had a fantastic season along with everybody else. And there's names we even left off because there's a lot of people rebounded.
Yeah.
But you only have four options.
There's always going to be a lot of rebounds, yeah. Right? The fantasy breakout player of the year. Kyler Murray only got 9.5% of the vote. I was a little surprised to see that. DK only 26% of the vote. Calvin Ridley with 28, and James Robinson once again wins with 35.7. I do kind of regret putting James Robinson on there because I don't feel like it was a breakout year. It was just a really good rookie year. Like, I kind of, when I think of the word breakout, I think of, you know, a player that's been in the league for a few years and has finally reached their potential. Yeah. I don't know. That's just me, I guess.
A guy who's seasoned, has at least a year in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like DK and Ridley, you know what I mean? And those guys, like, you know, that's kind of how I view a breakout too. Same way as you, like a guy that has at least a year in the league, playing in a sophomore season or later. But I'm not too late too either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
guy's a 10-year vet, and he has a good season. I don't know if I'd consider that a breakout.
Yeah, no. It has to be indicative of what you what you expect from now on, right? Biggest second half turnaround. This one was a landslide as well. J.K. Dobbins received 4.8% of the votes. J.D. McKissick got 14.3%. Deontay Johnson, 26.2%. And that leaves a whopping 54.8% for David Montgomery. Monty, the man who you swore you would not draft. And I think you were pretty happy to have him by season's end.
Oh, he bailed me out, man. He was like my only good running back. But, well, I had Dobbins, too. Dobbins was okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't on Monty's level. Like, let's not.
Oh, who is?
Fucking bullshit. Yeah, who is? I mean, Monty's great. Second round pick next year.
Yeah, he'll be taken too high.
Yeah, he's going to be too high for me. Monty was my vote for this award. I think he definitely deserved it, I believe. From the bye week on, he was like RB2. He was fantastic. I mean, he was putting up 20 plus point games, just hand over fist. It was almost a write in mm-hmm. every week. Like, oh, he's giving me 20. He's giving me 20.
Yeah, you couldn't stop him. That's gonna wrap up the booms, and we're gonna go straight into our bus. Biggest first round bust. The question of the year every year, because there's always a handful of first round busts. Josh Jacobs, only 2.4% of the vote. I don't understand that. I would have thought he got a little more love than that. You know, I figure he burnt enough people. He was not my vote, though. My vote was Miles Sanders, who finished with 16.7% of the vote. I would have thought he'd get more love, too. CEH had 21.4, and Ezekiel Elliott, 59.5. And boy, was he fucking disappointing the entire second half of the year. It was brutal. But at least you got a good half a season out of him. You know, like, what the fuck did you get out of Miles Sanders, man? You know, like,
two good games?
Yeah.
Against, like, the toughest run defenses he was going to face all year.
Yeah. Not even two good games, two good runs.
Yeah. And what was I going to say? So, yeah, and then, like, that week he played New Orleans, it was so late in the season that, like, people probably benched him. I believe it was week 14. And they probably got even more pissed because they were probably like, I benched this asshole, and now he does something against the number one ranked run defense at the time, fantasy. comparing to fantasy scoring, I believe the Saints were the worst matchup for running backs. I mean, my vote was for Clyde. I think he should have won. I think he got a lot of buzz.
Oh, yeah. He got a ton of hype. Oh, my God.
He talk about under-delivering. I mean, he finished as an RB2. He wasn't horrible, but you don't draft the first-round running back for an RB2 finish. You do not.
No.
You're drafting those guys because you think they're going to be top five at their position.
And he got worse as the season went as well. You know, it was just – and that's why I was fading him. I just – you know, unless you're a rookie – in a sure fire hit spot. Like, I would have drafted Saquon Barkley. I would have drafted Zeke. But, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I was fading everywhere. I didn't own him anywhere. Because, I mean, I would have taken Miles Sanders over him. So, it's not like I'm a fucking genius or anything. Because I would have got burnt just as bad, if not worse. But, you know, it's like they're a pass-first team. They always have been. They always will be. I just don't, I didn't see the appeal. You know, that's exactly what turned out to be the case. Like, he's a good player. When he gets the ball, he's fine. But Andy Reid has no interest in running the ball. That's not his thing. That's not why he's here, you know? And that's exactly what turned out to be the case. It's he's not a bad player. It's just these are the opportunities he's been given. The biggest waiver wire disappointment. The players that were added the most in the first month of the season, most notably in that first month, were the injuries to CMC, Saquon Barkley, George Kittle. There were lots of them. This went to Chris Thompson. 54.8% of the vote. Nobody else is even fucking close other than Malcolm Brown. who had a stellar week one and then just faded into the background. Chris Thompson was added a billion times after Fournette got traded, and there was never a single game you could use him. It was ugly from beginning to end, and I feel like most people probably dropped him by week two. And if you have Fab, you probably spent a good chunk of your budget on Chris Thompson trying to beat out the other players.
Steve Brand is number one waiver priority in my league.
Yeah.
To get him.
And I probably would have too. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, Chris Thompson was clearly... was I voted Malcolm Brown, but I felt like Chris Thompson was going to be the winner of that award. You ain't going to get no argument out of me because, like you said, people blew countless money in front of their Fab on him. People burned number one waiver priorities like Steve, and he was nothing. He never even gave you a good game. I don't believe. He might have had like one okay game, but you didn't play him.
So this one, you know, there's no hard data. There's no facts. It's all your interpretation. And it was the most devastating injury of the year. We have a damn near three-way tie. Dak Prescott received 28.6% of the votes. 33.3% of the vote went to Saquon Barkley. And the winner for most devastating injury of the year is Mr. Christian McCaffrey. 38.1% of the vote. Not a single vote for George Kittle, which I'm not all that shocked about. I mean, it's a tight end. It's just a very different position. You can stream tight ends easy enough. You know, you can play the matchups. You can find that defense to play to start some no-name tight end against that you think you can get a good game out of. Quarterback is tougher than that, and running back is really hard. So I'm not surprised to see most of the votes go to CMC and Saquon. And as the CMC owner and the Saquon owner in two of the leagues that we are in, I had the first overall pick in two leagues, and I decided to diversify my funds. I'm going to hedge my bets, and I took them both, and they both ended up exactly the same. But McCaffrey kept flirting with coming back, and I think that's what really did it for me, was just the hope of getting him back and playing him again and just never getting it. I think that was what sealed the deal for me.
Yeah, I believe. And then, like, he comes back and he gets hurt in that game. People held on him all the way through the playoffs, probably hoping that they were going to get him if they made it. And you didn't get him. And he just chewed up an IR spot or a bench spot. And, you know, that was my argument. With Saquon, week two, like, you knew he was toast.
Yeah, torn ACL, done. See you later.
Unless you have some type of keeper rules, like, you were cutting him. And that was that. And
yeah,
it's like you said, like, Kittle and Dak hurt too, because Dak did, you know, he affected that whole offense. I mean, look at Zeke's split from with Dak to without. I mean, he completely tanked.
I just think he gave up because Pollard wasn't that bad.
You think he was just cashed, huh? Kitbaugh mailed it in, said, yep.
Yeah.
2021.
Pollard wasn't that. It's hard to blame the old line when the backup running back's doing fine. Am I wrong?
No, I get what you're saying, and he probably wasn't quite giving max effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'm with CMC. That was my vote. I think the right option was voted on amongst everybody.
Yeah, agreed. This is the one I know you can't wait to talk about. So the biggest letdown from the preseason hype train. DJ Moore with 7.1% of the vote. DJ Chark with 16.7. Miles Sanders with 26.2. And with an even 50% of the vote, Mr. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like I said, I thought it was a sketchy spot from beginning to end. I didn't think it was a great spot for him to land. Pre-NFL draft, he didn't have a great profile. Nobody was really shouting his name from the rooftops. And then he gets drafted by Kansas City, and all of a sudden he's a first-round pick. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no, fuck that. No way. And I was right. They didn't want to use him. And if he had more of a pass-catching role like Kareem Hunt did, I think you could have had a better case for him. But I just don't know. Maybe next year when he can brush up on pass protection and route running and all that stuff and have a real preseason, maybe. But I didn't see it, and it ain't there. Not this year.
Just a typical case of a player that got overhyped because of his landing spot. Considering where he landed, he should have done much better than he did. I mean, dude, you landed on the best offense in the fucking league.
And I mean, it's tough to ignore that kind of noise. I will say, but by the end of like draft season, even I was buying in. I was like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this kid will be really good. I mean, dude, like on other podcasts, like Fantasy Experts, they were talking about him catching 60 to 70 passes. 60 to 70 passes. Like, that's fucking insane.
I thought it was in his repertoire, too. I thought he could catch it. I thought he was going to catch a be. I thought he was going to be involved in the passing game a lot more than he was. When Le'Veon Bell signed there, it's just like that whole backfield just became like a fucking carousel. Even though Darrell Williams had a role even before he got there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the second the Chiefs signed Bell, I was kind of like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this. I was never scared that Bell was going to take the starting job. Never once. Never worried. Never crossed my mind. But I'm like, this is just going to be like a committee from hell now watch. But, I mean, Clyde always was usually, when he was healthy, was usually the lead dog. But still, he was never really getting over 60%. Like, it was always like mid-50s.
Yeah.
Between 50 and 55. And then, you know, Williams and Bell would take the other 50, typically. We'll have to see. I expect he's going to be a little bit of a discount next year. Fantasy is a very what have you done for me lately, you know?
Yeah.
what do you call it? What have you done for me lately industry, you know?
Yeah.
What did you do last year? So Clyde ain't going to be no first-round pick. I don't even think Clyde's going to be no fucking second-round pick.
He might be
a third.
And he might be a steal there. Because like I said, if he can work on his route running and get more involved in the passing game, I think there's a lot of value to be had. But, you know, with a truncated offseason and no passing camps and no preseason games, I think it was a lot to ask for him to step in and do something he wasn't comfortable with in his rookie season. You know, I mean, he did pretty well with his rushing work. He had 181 attempts for 800 yards and had 4.4 yards per carry. That's pretty good. It's not bad at all. Only 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. 181 yeah. carries, 4 touchdowns. Because when they get down there, it's the Pat Mahomes show.
He had over 50 targets, too, believe it or not.
He did. He had 54 targets with 36 receptions.
That's not a very good catch percentage for a running back.
No.
That is horrible.
But, I mean, like I said, that's the kind of stuff
horrible.
He has to work on, you know?
Yeah.
But, anyways. The biggest rookie letdown. Jalen Reagor, 9.5%. Henry Ruggs, 26.2%. That was my vote. 28.6% went to Jerry Jeudy. And the winner is Keyshawn Vaughn with almost 36% of the vote. I get it. He's somebody that got drafted in every single league and never took the field. I get it. He's a huge letdown. No question about it.
I don't mean to shit smear everybody who voted, but I feel like they got this one wrong. I'm with you. I get why they voted for Keyshawn Vaughn, because he was getting a lot of buzz. I even compared him to 2020's version of Darwin Thompson. I thought that was a good comparison.
It is.
But it was Ruggs, man. Like, Keyshawn Vaughn was never the starter. Before week one, you fucking knew he wasn't going to be the starter. Ruggs was a starter. He was out there when he was healthy, and he just fucking sucked. I hate to say it, but he did nothing.
He didn't 100% finish
as a top 90 wide receiver. He was awful. Like, Ruggs was the winner of this award.
Dude, I can't believe Ruggs came in third.
Yeah, you can make cases for why Reagor shouldn't win. You can make cases for why Jeudy shouldn't win this. I don't really see how you make a case for why Ruggs should not have won this.
Yeah, I honestly don't. If you vote for Vaughn over Ruggs, I get it. Like I said, you know, he was drafted in every league and he literally never took the field. Okay, fine. Huge disappointment. I get it. I'm on board. Why the fuck would you pick Jerry Jeudy over Henry Ruggs or Keyshawn Vaughn? He was supposed to be a number two wide receiver, was he not? What did you expect from him? You know, if your expectations were higher than what he did, that's a you problem. I don't think that's a Jerry Jeudy problem. I think that's a you problem. You set the expectations in the fucking stratosphere. He doesn't deliver, and now it's his fault. Now it's his fault. No, I don't get it. Biggest second half flop. So with the lowest percentage of votes, we have Mr. Terry McLaurin with only 2.4%. We have Tyler Lockett and Ezekiel Elliott tied with 28.6% of the vote. And the lion's share of the vote goes to Mr. Todd Gurley with 40.5% of the vote. He was somebody that I'd overlooked. And you actually had to point out to me and say, hey, he should be in the second half flop category. And to be honest, the first half of the season went unnoticed. Like, I knew he was bad in the second half, but I didn't realize how good he was in the first half. Weeks 1 through 7, he was the RB8. Weeks 8 through 16, he was the RB54. I mean, god damn, talk about falling off the face of the earth. So, good catch by you, seriously.
Yeah, he disappeared.
Yeah, you saved my ass on that one.
Yeah, he literally lost. He lost his job by season's end. Like, he wasn't even starting. He was getting on the field for some snaps and getting some touches, but he literally lost his fucking job. Like, that's a flop.
Yeah,
like you said, he went from being a low to mid end RB1, a low end RB1, to fucking cut by probably several teams because they were probably like, he's not even worth holding.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was brutal. And that's going to take us out of the bus. We're going to go straight into next year. What rookie running back are you most excited to see next year? Zach Moss got 7% of the vote, 14% for Antonio Gibson, too low. J.K. Dobbins, 31%, and Cam Akers with 47.6% of the vote. Eric, who did you vote for?
I think I voted for Dobbins, if I can recall.
Yeah.
This is a tough question to answer in January, though. Like, you can ask me this question now, and then you can ask me in August, and I might have a totally different answer. I might even have a guy that's not even on this fucking list.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see some buzz for Akers. He's somebody that I've been able to actually watch the past couple weeks, and I do see potential with him. He has impressed me. Dobbins is very situational. Do they let Gus Edwards and Ingram walk? I do believe they will at least let Ingram walk. I don't know about Gus.
Yeah.
Gibson had a great season. What's Washington going to do? They're going to get improved quarterback play. You know, I think that's a big part of it for me. Are they going to roll with Smith? I think Smith might retire. I want to see, what does Washington do this offseason to bolster their offense? You know, because that's going to help me. That's going to help me gauge Gibson a little better, too. It's a tough question to answer. Blindly, I voted Dobbins. I don't know who you voted for, but...
I believe I voted for Dobbins just because he's so much faster than I thought. I know I said that a couple times this year, but I really didn't think he had great wheels. I thought that he was a kind of a bigger back that would kind of bowl people over, and he is. But he's so much faster than I thought he was. So now I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, this dude's a total package. Like, let's see it. You know, now I'm like, all right, I want to see what this kid can really do when he has that lead back role all season long. That's what I want to see. And he averaged 6 yards a carry this year. For the entire regular season, he averaged 6 yards a carry. I mean, this kid could be a fucking stud in the making. And I'm definitely excited to see what he can do next year. Even though I love me some Antonio Gibson. And I think Antonio Gibson has more pass-catching upside. But I think Dobbins may be just a flat-out better runner, which I definitely can't wait to watch. What rookie wide receiver are you most excited to see next year? So, Henry Ruggs did not get a single vote. Because we already saw what he is. So, Jerry Jeudy got 21.4% of the vote. Jalen Reagor, 28.6. And 50% of the vote went to one Mr. Chase Claypool, who was cooling off towards the end of the year, but had a big week 17, big playoff game. I'm definitely excited to see Chase Claypool as well. I'm more looking forward to Jerry Jeudy when I can see what he's going to do with the pressure off of him, You know, he knows the system better. Maybe they get better quarterback play, either it's from Drew Luck or someone else. You know, he can kind of be that number two behind Cortland Sutton, which is what they wanted, to kind of bring him along slowly. And I'm excited to see what he can turn into. But, you know, majority rules, Chase Claypool it is. So what was your vote, Eric?
I think I voted for Chase.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I don't expect Juju to be back.
He is a stud.
I think it's going to – yeah, he looks good. He needs to learn to shut his fucking mouth. But he's turning into the new Juju. So, Pittsburgh fans, buckle in, because don't worry, you're going to have another loudmouth wide receiver. And you already got him, and his name's Chase Claypool. Because just the shit he said about the Browns, it's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
you
right.
Just lost.
Talk about sour grapes.
Yeah, exactly. He sounded bitter. And but I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next year, too. I'm looking forward to see who's going to be throwing the ball to him. Is it going to be Big Ben? Is it going to be somebody else?
I'm calling it right now. I think Ben's going to retire.
I think so, too.
And I think losing that playoff game the way they did, he might be like, oh, I'm going to play one more and see if I can do better than that. I want to leave like that. But at the end of the day, what is the best case scenario? Like, what, are you just going to play forever until you can leave after winning a Super Bowl? Like, what if next year you don't make the playoffs at all? It's even fucking worse. Like...
I mean, you saw Big Ben towards the end of the season. He was cooked.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, his throws looked horrible. Like, he just wasn't the same player as he was in the first half.
And he just looked disinterested. Like, he didn't look like he wanted to be there. He didn't look like he wanted to compete. And I just don't, I don't think he'll be back. But if he is, I think it's a mistake. Put that, I'll say that right now, too.
Yeah. I think he's hanging it up, too. So we'll have to see what Pittsburgh does. Are they eye somebody in the draft, free agency, maybe go after Jameis or somebody, or I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on it in the off season.
Yeah.
Player you can already see being overhyped next season. Eric, I'm gonna ask you flat out. The options were Corey Davis, DJ Chark, Hollywood Brown, and Cam Akers. Who'd you vote for?
I think I voted for Chark.
Yeah.
It was either Chark or Akers. I can't remember.
I was leaning that way as well, but I ended up voting for Cam Akers, and Cam Akers is the winner with 31% of the vote. Davis and Hollywood Brown received 26.2% of the vote, tied, and DJ Chark received 16.7. So I think Chark's going to get overhyped because of the Trevor Lawrence addition, but Cam Akers, I can already see it, man. It's like, ugh. People are going to talk themselves into taking him in the first round. And it's not going to fucking work. It's just, it's Miles Sanders all over again. And I fell for Miles Sanders. Like, we all fall prey to it, right? But, I mean, like, come on, man. Like, sometimes you just got to look at the signs and be like, you know what? This isn't adding up.
That's how I feel about JT, too. I know he wasn't an option on this ballot, on this question. But I can already see Jonathan Taylor is another one. He's a first-round pick next year. Agree or disagree, like, he's going to be a first-round pick next year. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, just to watch him play running back roulette the rest of the season? Like, no thanks.
Yeah, they haven't even come out and said if they're officially not going to re-sign Mac. They said they're unsure. I don't think they do, but...
Which, I mean, I thought it was a foregone conclusion. Like, dude, you could have asked me in fucking August if they were going to re-sign Marlon Mack, and I would have said no. Why would you draft Jonathan Taylor if you're going to re-sign Marlon Mack? What the fuck? Like, why? But it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. And it's like, I don't know if some of that's like out of respect for Mack. Like, they're just trying to play it up like, oh, he's such a good player. I don't know if we can let him go, guys. Like, in the back. Then they get to the boardroom and they're like, yeah, all right, so he's gone, right? Like, but I just don't. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't see how they can hang on to Marlon Mack and pay him a second contract when they have Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. It just none of that adds up. Literally none of it. So, all right. So that's going to bring us out of next year's category. We're going to go straight into some league rules. Near and dear to our hearts, Eric. Should leagues abolish the kicker spot? 64.3% of the vote said yes, to the 35.7% said no. And just so our listeners know, just tonight, as we are recording, the Daydreaming Degenerates League of Record has voted to abolish the kicker position in our league, and we could not be happier, to the chagrin of some. Thank God.
Kickers have no place in fantasy football, man. The more I think about it, there's too much of a luck variance with them. They're all the fucking same.
Absolutely.
I don't really know what else more to say. I mean, you never know. I think people like kickers because I think they view kickers as like a fucking lottery ticket. Like, you really never know what you're going to get. So you might get 20 points out of them. You might get two. And I think some people like having that lottery ticket player that you kind of can't really scheme based on matchup or injury around them. Like, there's nothing to really go off strategically with the kicker. It's kind of just, all right, I'm going to pick this guy and play him. It's a high over-under. Vegas has this game set at a high over-under, so fuck it, I'll try him out and see what happens. But that doesn't always work out. Like,
no, it's a coin flip. I mean, at the end of the season, they're all reasonably close to each other. Like, it doesn't matter if you have the kicker 12 or the kicker 1. Like, they don't add anything to your fucking team. They're fucking useless. Okay? They should not exist. No. Thank fucking God we got rid of them. Honestly, I could not be more excited. Like, this is the way it should be.
You know, and there's a few people in my league that are pretty upset that we got rid of them.
No, that's putting it lightly.
Yeah. I mean, they're the same people, like I said. I'm not going to say their names personally, but they're the same people that ask me at the draft, hey, do I have to draft the kicker? Or can I, like, draft the running back and just pick one up later before the season starts? Or they do what I just said during the season, because you can do that on ESPN. You do that on most apps. They're useless. That's proof to me that they're useless. And a kicker should never decide a fantasy game. It shouldn't. And yeah. I know people are going to be like, I'm just saying that because I'm bitter because I lost the championship based on the kicker. There were no kickers in my league. I win.
Yeah.
And that's not it. I've wanted kickers out for a while. Even if it was the other way around, even if my kicker got me the win, I'd still want to get rid of him.
No, I mean, we've put it to a vote 3 years in a row. This isn't because of that game, you know?
It's always been tight. It's always been like 6-6, 7-5, you know what I mean? It's never been like a blowout, you know what I mean? It's never been heavily swayed in one way or the other. It finally got pushed through.
Yeah, thank God. And we're going to move on to our next question. Should all leagues be using FAB instead of waivers? I was actually surprised. I was talking to a friend at work, and I had to explain what FAB even was. Like, he'd never even heard of it. You know, he's reading the ballot, and he's got the phone. He got the phone in his hand. He's like, what is FAAB? I said, yeah, it's FAB. He goes, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. What the fuck's that mean? I was like, what? I was like, you never even heard of it? Like. So, I guess it's not as common as I would have thought, but 66.7% of the vote said yes, 33.3% of the vote said no. I'm fine not having FAB. It doesn't bother me. I like FAB. I like your system better. I like the rolling waivers better, but it would not bother me whatsoever to switch to FAB. I know that was something you really wanted last year. Have you kind of changed your mind on that, Eric?
Yeah, because I know it's just in my league, it's just going to cause problems.
You could drop the hammer and Goodell it, what?
I'd go to FAB.
Yeah,
I would. Yeah, I like FAB better personally. I think it's a better. I think as far as balance goes, I think it's just more level and balanced to give everybody a fair crack at players. But I know in my league, like you've said it too, like there's going to be some Jamoke who fucking blows 90% of his budget like by week two. And he's going to be like, why am I not getting players? And I was like, well, you spent all your money. So you don't have any budget left to get players. You got to let that budget stretch all season. I know it would just cause headache. So I don't have a problem with rolling waivers. I'm like you. It's fine. The way we got it set up works fine, and nobody's complained about it. So
at least there's some strategy to it. You know, it's like you can look at a player and be like, do I really want to burn the number one priority on this fucking guy? You know, it's like, you do kind of pick and choose when you use it. It's like it's not like reverse order standing waivers. Like, that's fucking useless. Get out of here, you know?
Yeah, which a lot of probably standard leagues do.
I know.
That's usually the default waiver setting is reverse order of standing.
Yeah, it's gross.
There's so many people that probably create leagues.
They don't even look at it.
Don't even look at it. Whatever the standard settings are, they just leave them. Scoring, yeah. Waivers, trades, everything. They just, whatever it is, they just, yep, whatever. Whatever they recommend.
So that's going to bring us to one of the last questions of the night. Should the draft order be decided well before the draft process begins, or should you decide just before the draft starts? Even online drafts, you know, a lot of times you'll get the draft order 10 minutes before the draft, or you can do it way in advance. And, you know, if you're doing a live draft, obviously the world is your oyster. If you're going to get together and do the draft, you can do a competition there. You can decide it 6 months in advance, whatever. Personally, I like finding out right at the draft. I think it's more fun. I don't really mind, you know, not being perfectly prepared for that one spot, you know, but the people disagree. 76.2% of the vote said the sooner the better, and only 23.8% said surprise me.
I'm an at the draft kind of guy too. I love the surprise of not knowing where you're going to pick, because it completely alters your strategy, and you got to do it on the fly.
Like, yeah.
You might, if you go into a draft knowing where you're picking, like, you can kind of go in, which should be better for somebody like me. I do a lot of research and stuff, and I try to strategically, you know, if I know I'm picking third, I'm like, okay, I know who I'm going to get. You know, I know I'm going to either get him or him with my first pick, and I'm like, I can kind of go this way, and this guy should be here in the second. I just like the shock of finding out of the draft. But I also like to switch it up, too, a little bit. Like, I don't like the same shit. Like, yeah, maybe this year, maybe we'll find out a week before.
Yeah. And that's going to bring us to our last question of the night. The team name for the last place team in the Daydream Degenerates is named after the team that comes in last place in the NFL, which in this year is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we asked you, the listener, we said, what are your Jacksonville themed last place team names? We want them to be mean, and you did not disappoint. There were a lot of write-in options, which unfortunately, the way we have this doc set up, which we'll have to fix next year, if somebody writes in an option, it does not become votable. So nobody was allowed to vote on a write-in option.
I gotcha.
So I definitely think some of the write-in options are the better options. Some of them are really silly. Minshew drinks out of pee-pee holes.
It's silly, but I kind of like it.
Silly?
At least it's fucking kind of mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I'm looking for something a little more clever. That's not to say I don't like it, because I love the creativity. You know, there were a lot of really great ones, you know, the Trash is Stash, Trailer Trash Stash. My personal favorite out of all of them was the Duval Dumbass. I love it. It screams last place. It's Jacksonville themed. I think it's perfect. I love it.
So I think what we got to do is,
Oh, we got to put it to a vote in the league.
Yeah. So I might be putting a poll up on the Facebook page, it sounds like. And, I think I like Duval, the Duval Dumbass, the best too out of them.
Yeah, I mean, out of the responses that I came up with, the most votes was for the Mustache is Just Trash. I will say that, but they didn't have Duval Dumbass to vote for, so would they have voted for that instead? You know, and at the end of the day, we're gonna decide his team name. If people have been allowed to vote on the write-ins, I would have just stuck to this, as it were. But I feel like people got duped. You know, they weren't allowed to vote on the write-ins, and so they didn't get to see these great responses. So yeah, we'll throw it out to the Daydream Degenerates, and we will let them decide. But that's my personal favorite. The second I saw it, I was like, oh my god, why didn't I think of that? So whoever wrote that in, and there were more than one, whoever wrote that in, you're a fucking genius. I love you. You did a great job. And keep them coming, man. We're going to reach out to you again next year for the same exact thing, and we're counting on you.
Oh, there was more than one person who wrote that in?
Yes. Yes. There was more than one. There were multiple Duval dumbasses. There's multiple Duval dumbass spellings. There's multiple. So, yeah.
Perfecto.
Yeah, they did a great job, man. Great job. Anyway, so that's going to wrap up our award show. Thank you guys so much for voting. I cannot stress enough how much we appreciate it. Seriously, thank you guys. You know, we got so much more than we expected, and just I'm flattered. We make this podcast for fun. Sometimes we feel like we're just doing it for no reason, like no one's listening, and obviously you guys are. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We love you guys. No, I'm with Brian, man. You know, it's been a great season, man. Thank you to everybody who listened. Thank you to the new listeners that we gained. We're going to try to do what we can to deliver some episodes in the off season. Not going to stick to a strict schedule, but we're going to do our part, you know.
Yeah.
So, hopefully you guys hang around and keep listening. You know, we'd love to we'd love that if you guys, kept us saved in your little podcast playlist, maybe give us a listen every now and then. And I believe in the future, a little spoiler, we may have some exciting announcements to make.
Yeah, there's going to be some big changes coming next year.
Big changes.
We're going to be rethinking everything about the podcast, and we're going to be coming up with new segments. We're going to be dropping some old segments. We're going to be revamping some of the old segments, and we're going to come at you with a much different look next year. And hopefully it'll be better and you guys will like it. And either way, you can always reach out to us. If you have any questions, any pre-draft, any pre-NFL draft, any free agency questions, anything at all, you can reach out to us at 508-343-8010. That'll go straight to voicemail. It will not ring. And you can reach us by email at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I promise you, the listener, if you call and you leave a voicemail, no matter what the question is, I guarantee I will make these schmucks sit down and answer the question. If it's a 5-minute episode and all we do is answer that one question, I will do it. I don't care. You guys mean so much to us. Like, we're so happy that we have so much engagement, that we've had so many emails all year, so many voicemails, so many people reaching out. Like, we can't stress enough how much we appreciate it. And if you take the time to leave that voicemail, leave that email, we will answer it. And thank you so much for doing that all season long.
Yeah. I mean, I've been scouting rookies. If you guys got a lot of questions about rookies, I've been grinding, I've been kind of diving in a little bit, checking out film on these guys and all that. And, I'd love to talk rookies. If you guys got questions about the rookies, the draft coming up, and I'd be more than happy to answer your questions to the best of my abilities, which ain't very great.
Well, I mean, like the NFL says, there is no off season. So pretty soon we're going to start diving into free agents. Like Eric said, he's already starting to do the homework on the rookies. And, this is the guy that told you, draft Justin Jefferson. He knows what he's talking about. He's pretty good at it. So you may want to take his word for it.
I'm going to tell you right now. I like that other LSU receiver, man. I like that motherfucker, man.
Oh, yeah?
Ja'Marr Chase. Oh, yeah. I think he's going to be nice.
What do you think about Devontae Smith? I think he's overrated.
I think he is, too. I think he's too small. I think he's good. I think he's all right, but I think he's a little overrated, too. He's going to get overdrafted.
He plays super close to the line. His game's not going to translate, I don't think. I suppose he could be another Deebo Samuel type, but I don't know. But it's for another episode. So Thank you guys for listening. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did see a crazy stat about Devontae Smith, though. There's been like 9 wide receivers to score. There's been like 9 wide receivers in college football history to have 200 yards in the first half of a game, and he has like 4 of them. I think he's a little.
Yeah, on Alabama.
I'm on Team Chase.
Yeah.
When it comes to wide receivers.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again and again and again and again. We can't say it enough. Please take care of yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.